Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after.
On a Sunday afternoon.
Have some things I want to talk to you about that I think will benefit you, and I'm going to do it. I'm doing it very quickly. It's not going to take too long to discuss this because I've gotten this down to a science. And as I said earlier, this is important for you to understand, for you to know. These are some little nuggets that you can use if you have a small business, and maybe you can rear back after I say this and say, "Well, I'm already doing all that." Well, if you are, good for you. But if you're not, then maybe it'll motivate you. I'll motivate you to do something about it. And if you're not a small business owner yet, but you want to be, you plan to be tomorrow or a year from now or 5 years from now, then this is something that I think you need to remember, and because this is very important. And this, what I'm about to tell you, is essential to success. It's essential to survival as a small business owner. So, let's say you and I bump into each other in the lemonade line during a 15-minute intermission at the Grateful Dead concert. You got that picture? As we wait, we're waiting for our lemonade, you ask me to take the next 3 minutes and explain some of the financial keys of operating a small business. All right, you just did that, right? So here you go. First, this is number one. Focus on three financial statement practices. Now, you know what your financial statements are, right, folks? The two primary ones are the operating statement, also known as the P&L, profit and loss statement. I usually call it the operating statement. Most people don't. They call it the P&L. I have to be different. And the balance sheet, the operating statement or P&L and the balance sheet. So here are three things that you need to make sure you do with those documents. Number one, produce them regularly. Manage with the P&L and balance sheet. If you try to manage with the financial statements, the P&L and balance sheet from last year's tax return, that doesn't qualify as regular. Financial statements and financial information is like produce. The older it is, the less it's worth. So if you try to manage your business with the P&L and the balance sheet that your accountant gave you from your business return from last year's tax return, that's like making a salad with 16-month-old lettuce. Imagine that. Okay. Monthly statements, and when I talk about regularly, produce them regularly, it's best if you do it monthly. But if you have a small company, a tiny company, you don't have a lot of transactions, a lot of activity, a lot of cash to move around, don't have a lot of moving parts, you might be able to get by with quarterly. But ideally, it's monthly. And not only that, not only monthly, but you have last month's statement before the end of this month. Because remember, not only do you need to produce them regularly, you need to have them done quickly. As quickly as possible, and that means within the month after following the month that you're producing. All right, here's number two. Ensure accuracy. Remember when the Mars climate orbiter burned up entering the Martian atmosphere? Remember that? Do you know why that happened? That was a multi-million, I don't know, maybe billion-dollar project. So much hope, so much expectation, so much investment, so much work. It was unbelievable. The promise that mission was gonna that held for NASA and for a lot of folks. Very expensive. Sounds a lot like your business, doesn't it? Well, the reason it burned up was because the manufacturer used feet and inches to build it, and NASA used the metric system to deploy it. Consequently, spin, crash, and burn. That's what happened. because they weren't coordinating. They weren't producing their information. They were producing it accurately, but they weren't communicating accurately. It doesn't take rocket science to get your departments to track and report their activity. Now, that you might be saying, well, I don't have any departments. It's all me. Well, that's fine, but you got to coordinate what comes in with what goes out and all the other steps, all the other moving parts that are involved, like taxes, like depreciation, all those things. You got to coordinate all that. It does take coordination. And if you have an organization, if you have more than one person, if you've got a purchasing department accounting department and a shipping department, if you've got those different elements to your business, they've got to communicate properly. It takes coordination and communication to produce accurate reports that you can use to manage your business. And if you don't, you know what happens? Remember what happened to the Mars Climate Orbiter? Spin, crash, and burn. If you don't, that's what will happen to your business. All right, number three, you have to understand your financial statements. The good news is you don't have to be an accountant to manage with your financial statements. I'm going to say that again. Isn't that good news? Those of you who thought you had to be an accountant to understand your financial statements, I'm letting you off the hook. You don't have to do that. It's not true anymore. Never was. All you have to be able to do is understand the relationship. How, when you sell something, where it lands on your operating statement, and how, when you buy something, where it lands, when you pay a bill, what happens to it, what it looks like, how all the different elements of being in business are affected by, or I should say, affect your financial statements. And then how what happens on the operating statement affects the balance sheet. And some transactions that you make don't show up on the operating statement. They only show up on the balance sheet. You find out about that. And you understand that relationship. And here's more good news. The more you do it, the more you manage with your current operating statement and financial statement and balance sheet, the more you do that, the better you'll get at it. And I'm going to tell you another thing that will surprise you. The more you do it and the better you get at it, the more you will want to do it. The more you'll want to manage your business with current and accurate financial statements. You'll not only like doing it because it'll be exciting to see how all this works, but you'll be frightened not to do it. You'll be scared not to do it, not to have your financial statements. So if you're operating out there without financial statements, well, imagine that you're driving down the wrong side of an interstate and you can't see, you're blindfolded, and you're doing 100 miles an hour. That's what you do in your business without financial statements. When we come back, we're going to talk about cash. 20 after. Stay with me. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. That's jbsba.com. And that stands for Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate, if you forget. And if you go there, you can find lots of things that I think you'll enjoy, especially if you're a small business owner or want to be, including my newsletter. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email, and I think you'll like it. And by the way, this week's letter is going to have we began with freedom column, my began with freedom article, which has been so popular over the years. And so that's going to be in the 4th of July edition this week. All right, we're talking about financial statements. We're talking about making sure that, you asked me, we're standing in line at the Lemonade Stand at a Grateful Dead concert, and you asked me to take 3 minutes and explain some financial keys to operating a small business. Well, here's the next one. Let's talk about cash. Here's a sad story, but it's a common story. A small business was so successful, it failed. How could that be? Well, the business grew so fast, and the owner failed to understand that growth requires the funding of two very important, very vital financial elements, inventory in accounts receivable. This, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever heard of a business that was so successful it failed, this is what happened. They didn't realize that growth has to be funded. A common definition of accounts receivable and inventory is current assets you can't spend. If you go to your balance sheet and you both of these things, inventory and accounts receivable, show up in the current assets portion of the balance sheet. And they're very attractive sitting there on that balance sheet. And they're very seductive, actually, because you think you're doing so great. But if you need to make payroll or if you need to go to the grocery store, that what's sitting on that balance sheet, that inventory and accounts receivable, you can't spend that. You can't make payroll with that as it sits there on that balance sheet. And as proud of you as you probably are of your inventory and of your accounts receivable numbers sitting there on your balance sheet, remember, until the former is sold, until the inventory is sold and the accounts receivable is collected, either one of those assets could morph into a liability quicker than you can say, how am I going to make payroll on Friday? Now, how could that be? Well, inventory gets old. If you don't sell it, every day it isn't sold, it becomes old. It becomes more likely to be damaged, obsolete, lost, stolen. Accounts receivable, every day that it doesn't get paid, when it's supposed to get paid, is moving closer to an uncollectible receivable. And that's how those two can morph into a liability quicker than, as I said, you can say, how am I going to make payroll on Friday? You'll get into trouble if you think you have to make inventory available to customers just in case. In the 21st century, and it's really been this way for over 20 years, if you have inventory, you want to make sure nothing spends the night in your building that didn't have to spend the night in your building. Instead of making inventory available just in case, adopt one of the most productive management practices of the last generation, and that's make sure you have products available to your customers just in time, not just in case. And now here's another one. I know you're excited. Let's talk a little bit about accounts receivable. I know you're excited about the contract you just got with that big customer, but don't forget, if you have a 30% profit margin and you give your customer give them 30-day terms, that means you have to fund 70% of that sale until you get paid. And sometimes it takes more than 30 days, doesn't it? Remember, folks, if you sell something to a customer without getting the money at that moment and until they pay you, you haven't made a sale, you've made a loan. I'm going to say that again. When you sell something, until you get your money, you haven't made a sale, you've made a loan. Now, unless you're a bank, you're not in the business of making loans. Now, sometimes we have to let our customers have terms. I understand that. That's the way of the world. It's the way of business. It work, and when it works beautifully. But and I'm not saying that you shouldn't give your customers terms, but I am saying that if you're not aware of what just happened, your inventory went out of your building that you paid for, that you've got to fund until the customer pays you. So the longer you take to collect your money beyond the period of time that you have to pay your bills, that spread is when you are out of money. That's when, if you have to pay your bills in 30 days and your customers pay you in 60 days, you've got to fund whatever that money is, whatever that amount is, you've got to fund that for 30 days. A lot of companies, that's where they get into trouble. That's what I was talking about earlier. They were so successful, they failed. They don't understand that. The time it takes to sell inventory and to get paid for that sale must be funded with working capital from some source. And any growing company that doesn't understand and prepare for that fact will probably spin, crash, and burn. Write this on a rock. If you own a business, financial management is plan one, is job one. But if you're planning on starting a business, don't do it until you understand what I just talked about. Think about it. Quick break, right back with Rich Galen. 29 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.